Welcome to the Smart Investing Podcast, brought to you by Money and Me, an investor education and awareness initiative by PGIM India Mutual Fund.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Smart Investing, brought to you by PGIM India Mutual Fund. Ahalya here, keeping you company. Only before I hand over the mic to Ravi and Lisa, as per usual, as they dive deep into a brand new topic that could prove very useful to you in your investment journeys, no matter where in that journey you are. Now, I think one common denominator for all of us investors is that we're really looking to just make some money, save money, you know, according to our goals. But we may overlook two particular categories that can be quite useful in helping us meet our goals at the time that we want to. And those are passive and active funds. I have to admit, I think today's conversation is going to be quite riveting and quite detailed as well. So pay close attention, because this is a topic that should be talked about a lot more. Ravi, Lisa, over to you.
Thanks, Ahalya. Welcome to yet another episode of Smart Investing. Now, if you remember, in the last episode, we discussed about how to go about selecting equity funds for your portfolio. Now, this episode is also somewhat a continuation of what we discussed earlier. Now, all funds in the industry fall under the two main broad categories, which are active and passive funds. And we have with us Lisa, who will help us understand these strategies. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, Ravi. Thanks for having me here again.
Sure, Lisa. So, shall we begin by elaborating on what exactly these two broad categories are, which are active and passive funds?
Yeah, Ravi. So, mutual fund schemes in general come, you know, with a lot of choice, as you had said earlier. And active or passive is just one more choice that investors need to filter through. An active fund is where there is an assigned, like a fund manager who's making choices about which stocks to include in the scheme portfolio. And passive funds, on the other hand, do not require a fund manager to make these choices of which stocks to include. They simply mirror the portfolio to an underlying benchmark. Now, let me explain this. So every mutual fund scheme has to have a benchmark against which its performance is showcased. A benchmark is nothing but a market index of securities or stocks chosen on the basis of some predefined criteria. So passive funds use the portfolio of the assigned benchmark and recreate it exactly for the investor. So that is what these two types of schemes are. Now, in an active fund, stocks are selected on the basis of some kind of fundamental analysis of expected earnings growth. And in a debt fund, then the selection could be on the basis of, you know, perceived quality or yield and so on. Fund managers can, however, keep altering the selection based on their analysis of what the stock or the bond might do in the coming months. They do this in the hope of beating the benchmark returns. So any portfolio changes in passive funds, on the other hand, happen only when the underlying index composition itself changes, which does happen, say, once or twice a year. So that's what these schemes are, and that's how they kind of function.
Right. So basically, a passive fund manager is only trying to track the benchmark, whereas an active manager is trying to outperform the benchmark. Now that we know the basic difference between both these categories, now, Lisa, there are so many funds in the industry and it can get a little bit of confusing for investors. So by looking at the nomenclature of the fund, can investors make whether it's an active fund or a passive fund? So how do investors know that this is an active or passive fund?
Yeah, so actually, this is not so hard to do. Passive funds are of two types. There are exchange-traded funds and there are index funds. Now, exchange-traded funds are known by their popular acronym, which is ETF. And index funds are simply called that, index funds. So a simple passive fund will have either of these two identifying terms alongside their name, right? So along with the name of the index that they mirror. For example, one fund could be called S&P BSE Sensex ETF, or it could be a Nifty 50 index fund. So that will be the name of the fund. So this way you know that it is a passive fund and you know which index it is tracking, right? Now, for active funds, the names usually will include the identifying category name like large cap or mid cap or focused, multi cap, and so on. But some names are a bit more creative. For those, you will have to check the scheme fact sheet or the investment objective to understand the category it belongs to. In any case, if you're at all unsure, it's best to check the details for a scheme in the monthly fact sheet which the fund house releases, and it also tells you whether, you know, it is an active or a passive fund very clearly.
Yeah, in fact, and investors can also look at the investment objective of the fund. So that will also give them some idea about what the strategy of the fund is. So now you mentioned simple passive funds. So are there complicated ones too? Are there different types of passive funds?
Yeah, Ravi. So, well, they're not complicated passive funds as such, but there is increasing interest in something called smart beta passive funds, which are slightly different from, you know, the simple format of what a passive fund is, what I explained earlier. So let me just elaborate a little bit what the difference between a simple passive fund and smart beta ones are. A simple passive fund takes the published index, like we spoke, a Nifty 50, which has the Nifty 50 at least has the top 50 largest stocks in our equity market. And a fund which is tracking that will build a portfolio buying these stocks in the same proportion as they are in that identified index. A simple duplication of the index is what your basic passive fund will do. A smart beta passive fund will start with a simple index like a Nifty 50, then apply one or more conditions on it. For example, let's say it is a condition of quality, or maybe it could be momentum. Again, this is just an example, so you'll have to, you know, look into the details of what it is, but I'm just trying to explain how it is done. So just as an example, the quality filter could be there, and it could be about keeping only those stocks out of that underlying index of Nifty 50 which have low debt in their balance sheet. So only those companies with low debt from that Nifty 50, which is the entire universe. So if this condition is applied on all stocks in the Nifty 50 which have a debt proportion which is higher than what the quality filter needs, those stocks get sifted out. So those stocks will not be included in this smart beta fund with a condition of quality. Similarly, you can add other filters. It is still passive as there is no fund manager involved, and you're just using, you know, mathematical or statistical kind of conditions, and they get built in right at the start. In fact, these are indices. I mean, there are actually indices available to reflect these conditions so that a mutual fund scheme can be built around it. Another popular, non-simple, so to speak, condition is the equal weight filter, where instead of mirroring the index, so instead of having all these stocks in the proportion that the index holds them, the fund buys all the stocks in the index, but in equal proportion. A simple passive fund gives you exposure to the asset class, and you can choose from, you know, large, mid-cap or small-cap. There are passive funds across market capitalization. The more smart beta it gets, the more you need a deeper understanding of the condition being applied. Right, and ideally these are meant for people who have already developed some experience in market-linked investing rather than for first-time investors.
Right, so clearly there's a lot of choice also within the passive funds category as well. Now, what I understand is that smart beta funds can give you a flavor of both active and passive investing within the same fund at a lower cost. So this is somewhat like quant-based investing, if I would say. Now, if an investor wants to build a portfolio, how he should go about, you know, whether he should have active funds in the portfolio, how many passive funds he should have. So if you can throw some light on this aspect as well.
Yeah, so that's a good question, like how many funds across active, passive or both. Well, the reason passive funds exist is because, you know, over time in any capital market which is developing and getting more mature, so to speak, the ability of the fund manager to consistently beat its underlying benchmark index keeps reducing. this happens over time, and you know, it could take decades really, as investors become more savvy, information becomes more readily available, and for a fund manager to beat the basic market index return requires being a lot more astute in their stock or security selection. Now, this will be a slightly long explanation, so please bear with me. When you eliminate the fund manager from the equation, you also eliminate their fund management fees. Hence, the scheme cost is lower, like you spoke, at a low cost, right? So this is the incentive for you and me as investors to look at passive funds, that they come at a very low cost. We are getting a low cost investment option in the same asset. However, this choice of whether you want to go active or passive depends on a few other things as well. Firstly, the market dynamics matter. Secondly, your own goal matters. And lastly, your level of experience and portfolio diversification. Portfolio diversification meaning your own portfolio diversification matters. So let's take this one by one. By market dynamics, I mean the opportunity available in different segments of the market. In this case, we are talking more specifically about large cap versus mid and small cap. The large cap segment of the market has been defined by the market regulator as the top 100 stocks by market capitalization. And of course, I'm talking in context to our domestic equity market. This is all that is available for the fund manager to use in building a large cap active fund, 100 stocks. Now you also have the choice of investing in index funds or ETFs, which track the top 50. And also there are funds, ETFs and index funds, which track the top 100 stocks. As per guidelines, in a large cap fund, a fund manager has to invest 80% of the net assets across these 100 stocks if it is an active fund. And beyond this 80%, the fund manager may invest in, you know, mid or small cap schemes to generate some alpha. So you see that the distinction or the ability of the fund manager to consistently beat the underlying benchmark with stock selection may be limited because the universe of stocks itself is limited in a large cap fund, right? You have 100 stocks, fund manager in an active fund has to invest 80% within those 100 stocks. In an ETF or an index fund, you anyway can get exposure to those 100 stocks. So that is what I mean by market dynamics. Over the last few years, there has been a lower number of active large cap schemes which are consistently beating their benchmark. Hence, in this category, rather than using all the research and analysis on which active fund will do well in the coming years, it may be more efficient to choose a low cost passive fund. The same experience is not yet there in mid and small cap segments, where active funds in large numbers are seen to beat their benchmark returns and they have a wider universe of stocks to choose from as well. The second thing we mentioned was your own goals. When one is investing to build, say, a long-term corpus for retirement, or you know, something way ahead in the future, we make some assumptions about return, right? If you are satisfied with a conservative return assumption from equity, then a passive fund is good enough. You don't need to look for that extra alpha, perhaps, which, you know, active funds or select active funds can give. For investors who pick equity with the idea of investing surplus money that will maximize their return. So here, you know, they're not looking for goals or anything. They're just looking for maximizing return. And they are willing to take on that premium risk. There is merit in spending time selecting the most suitable active fund. For things like getting your teenager started on investing, for example, if you want to get your, you know, children a head start and letting them experience, passive funds can work just fine rather than getting into, you know, active fund selection in that space. In the debt fund space, for example, where you are building a long-term allocation towards debt in your portfolio, using passive funds with varying maturities, again, is a good starting point for someone who is simply replacing fixed deposits with market-linked debt. If you are someone, on the other hand, who has an advisor who is tracking active funds, debt funds, and their consistency, you may be more comfortable sticking to that. Or even if you are someone who has the time themselves to do the filtering around which active fund is relatively a better performer in the long run, you can choose active funds. If not, and you still want to do it yourself, then passive funds actually work well if you're a, you know, do-it-yourself kind of investor. The last bit is where your experience in investing kicks in. If you have been investing in mutual funds for many years, you may be able to select active funds which are consistently beating the benchmark in the past, especially in the mid and small cap space. For those who are just starting out, having some passive funds is a simpler choice, right? Where you are building a long-term portfolio, diversifying between active and passive is also a good idea. See, the real risk in active funds is fund manager risk. Fund managers move jobs, make mistakes, and investors have to bear the brunt. If you are someone who would like to completely avoid this risk, then again, passive funds are an option. So these are the various things that you need to filter through. And as I said, it's a bit of a long explanation, but, you know, helps to keep in mind.
Yeah, thanks, Lisa, for that detailed explanation. One interesting point that you made that, you know, some of the large cap funds are underperforming lately, which is why we are seeing the emergence of passive funds in this space. And if you look at in the developed markets also, there are a lot of inflows going into ETFs and passive funds as a category because markets have matured over there. And in India, ETFs and passive funds are really, majority of them are institutional investors, and retail investors are just beginning to look at these funds. Now, you're speaking about the performance of these funds. Now, what I understand is given the sharp rally which we have seen in the last 2 years, you will see that, you know, passive funds are really able to capture the upside really well. So now what happens when you see markets correct, you know? So in that scenario, I think active funds can perform a little better because they can hold on to some cash, maybe, you know. So if you can throw some light on this aspect.
Yeah, you know, technically speaking, for passive funds, they are tracking a particular market index, right? So returns will fall if the market is falling. In case of active funds, there is scope for better performance thanks to stock selection. And of course, as you mentioned, their ability to allocate to cash in times of turbulence. But one should understand that in case of active funds, the precise performance in a market correction, or for that matter, outperformance in a market rally, is difficult to forecast in advance as it depends on how the fund is being managed. You know, must check the quality of the portfolio, which is important, and the performance track record of the active fund you want to invest in, along with all the risk metrics to gauge its likelihood of outperforming market indices, both on the way up and on the way down. So consistency is important, and you can get that in historical data. This is what fund manager risk is. If the fund manager is able to consistently outperform in times of market correction, then there is merit in considering such active funds.
Okay, so investors need to look at their own investing circumstances and also the market situation, like in the case of large cap stocks, and then decide whether to go with active or passive funds in that space. Now, if you were to just pick up the benefits of each of this category, so what would you say?
Okay, so for passive funds, I would say the benefits are low cost, as we spoke, and they're simple to understand, right? For ETFs, you need a DMAT account. So if you already invest in stocks, this is a simple transition to buy ETFs or invest in ETFs. If you don't have a DMAT account, you can go with index funds. There is no fund manager risk in these types of schemes. So that is the benefit here. For active funds, the advantage is primarily of return, right? The alpha generation that we speak about, provided you can consistently select schemes which outperform their benchmark index and the passive funds in that category. The second advantage, as of now at least, is the choice of the selection available in active funds. There are many more nuanced active funds with diversified portfolios in, say, you know, flexi cap or multi cap or thematic funds, which you can choose from. So the variety is larger here. In the debt fund space also, active funds have a lot more say at the moment and a lot more to choose from for investors. So again, depending on what you're looking for, you can pick either active or passive or even a combination of the two.
Great, Lisa. So I think we are almost at the end of our discussion, and today we have covered a lot of ground. So let me just summarize a few points which I have understood in this episode for our listeners. So first of all, you require a Demat account to invest in an exchange traded fund. And if you don't have one, simply go for an index fund, which you can invest through your distributor or directly from the fund house or any investment platform or a mobile app. Now, the expense ratio charged by passive funds is lower than that of active funds, as passive strategies are simply tracking the underlying index. Now, broadly, passive funds track domestic, international, and other commodities like gold, silver, and other debt indices. Now, the large cap portion of your portfolio can include passive funds because of the limitation of fund managers to beat the benchmark, which we are witnessing lately, as you said. Now, in the mid and small cap category, what we have witnessed is there is scope for active managers to outperform the benchmark. So it is always advisable to go for active funds in the mid and small cap space. Now, we are seeing emergence of smart beta ETF and index funds, which can provide a mix of both active and passive funds within a predefined formula. So you get the flavor of both active and passive investing within passive strategies. Now, investors need to look at both active and passive funds in their portfolio, so they complement each other. So it's not either or. So both funds can very well fit in your portfolio. Lastly, there are a lot of choice even within the passive space, as you explained, Lisa. So there are more than 400 passive funds as of March 2024. So I would say it's always advisable to speak with your advisor to better understand how a fund can add value to your portfolio. Coming to end, so that's all we have for today. And I hope our listeners have got a better understanding of how to use active and passive funds in their portfolio. And thank you so much, Lisa, for sharing your insights. And we'll catch you in the next episode.
Thanks, Ravi. That was a great summary of our discussion. And I look forward to our next one very soon.
So you see, over the past few years, we've seen many different kinds of fund launches in the passive space. And we've also understood from today's conversation that they are low cost and give you a broad market exposure as well. But always good to understand passive and active funds for what they are and see how each of those categories can really line up with our goals being met in the time frame that we're looking at. As always, wishing all of you a very happy investing journey. Thanks for tuning in to Smart Investing by PGIM India Mutual Fund. And hopefully after today's podcast, your choice becomes a little bit easier. This is Mia Halia signing off. We'll catch you very soon with another conversation. But in the meantime, happy investing. Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.
You are listening to the Smart Investing Podcast, brought to you by Money and Me, an investor education and awareness initiative by PGIM India Mutual Fund.